Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton. Thanks for listening to Family Talk. You going through a tough time right now? Deep waters, financial trouble, relationship issues, and more? We're here to help you. We'd love to talk with you. You can call us right now, toll free, 877-732-6825. Again, you can call us right now, toll free, 877-732-6825, or you can connect with us on our website at drjamesdobson.org. There's always hope, and we're here for you. Call us right now, 877-732-6825.
Today on Family Talk.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. James Dobson, and you've tuned in to today's Family Talk broadcast. I'm so glad that you're with us. You know, 1 Kings chapter 8 says, "Let your heart, therefore, be wholly devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes and to keep His commandments." As Christians, we're commanded to obey God and completely dedicate our lives to Him, and nothing can be held back. In a moment, you're going to hear an encouraging presentation on this important concept from Dr. Jerry Kirk. Now, I want to tell you about my friendship with Dr. Kirk. I had been appointed in 1985 to the Attorney General's Commission on Pornography. I was appointed by President Ronald Reagan, and of course, the commission was led by Attorney General Ed Meese. All those people have become friends of mine. But we were having one of our sessions. I don't remember what city it was, but when we took a break, Dr. Kirk came up to me and introduced himself. He said that he had been senior pastor at College Hill Presbyterian Church in Cincinnati, Ohio, for many years, but the Lord had laid upon him the concern about pornography and what it was doing to children and what it was doing to families. And we shared that, and we instantly bonded and have been friends ever since. Dr. Kirk went on to found the National Coalition Against Pornography, which was very, very effective around the country. And he also started the Religious Alliance Against Pornography in 1986. And this organization continues to address the growing sexualization of this culture by partnering with other faith institutions across the country. But today, Dr. Kirk is going to talk about a really interesting concept, and he titles it A Wonderful Life. Now, this is not about the Jimmy Stewart movie. I guarantee you that. It's A Wonderful Life when Jesus is in charge. And he provides scriptural evidence for the supremacy of Christ and why believers must make him Lord of their lives. This is a good message, and I hope you'll enjoy it. Here now is part one of that message.
It's a wonderful life when we know and believe and pray and live the Word of God. It's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life when we know that to love God is to let God love us, to open ourselves up to how much He loves us. It's a wonderful life when we're free to be real. I was here when Henry Cloud was preaching. Somebody said to him, "You know, you really bug me." And then to say it again. And then there was a third person. And then he said to us, "I had been saying to the Lord, show me how I can grow in my interpersonal relationships." And he was free to be real. There's power when we're free to be real. I was asked to lead a preaching mission up at the Bay Village Presbyterian Church outside of Cleveland. And I took 30 laymen along. And one of those laymen that I asked to go was named Mark Trabert. Mark was the brother of Tony Trabert, the world champion tennis player back in my era. And Mark said, "You don't need to ask me to go just to get Doris." And I said, "Mark, I'm not asking you to go just to get Doris." But he said, "I don't know the Lord yet." Well, I said, you're in a couple's Bible study regularly. You get up at 5 on Thursday mornings to prepare breakfast for 700 teenagers. You worship every Sunday, and yet you don't know the Lord yet. I said, if you're honest about that, you're going to hit everybody there, because a lot of them think they're devout Christians because they come to church on Sunday. I said, you mark my word, God will use you in the midst of that group because of your honesty. Well, we went up, had one of the weekends of my life. God met us in that place. And on Sunday afternoon, about 50 or 60 people gathered just to reflect on the weekend. And who do you think they referred to the most? It was Mark Traber. He was free to be real. It's a wonderful life when you're free to be real. It's a wonderful life when Jesus is in charge. When Jesus is the Lord of our life. It's a wonderful life. When He is not the Lord, when we've gotten back on the throne, when we've received Him, but there's some area of our lives that we have not given to Him. It's a miserable life because we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We have seen what happens when He is at the center. And then when we get in the center, when our will gets in the center, it becomes a very, very difficult life. The witness of Jesus in the upper room. He had just washed the disciples' feet, and He said to them, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." He acknowledged who He was, the Lord of life. The witness of doubting Thomas. I think Thomas has a bad rap, really, because he was just being honest. Jesus had appeared to the other disciples. I don't know why Thomas wasn't there, but he wasn't. And Jesus appeared to them, and they came and said, "Thomas, we've seen the Lord." And they must have said to Thomas, "We saw the nail prints in His hands. We saw the wound in His side." Because Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail prints in His hand, unless I put my finger in that nail print, unless I put my hand in the wound in His side, I will not believe." And 8 days later, Jesus appears to all the disciples, and this time Thomas was there. And He went over to Thomas in His gentle, loving way, and He said, "Thomas, look at my hands and put your finger in the wound and my side." And Thomas cried out, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Do you believe because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." The witness of Thomas, the witness of Jesus in His one of the other resurrection appearances. I'm going to read it because I've not memorized the verses before. It's Matthew 28. It goes like this, beginning at the 16th verse. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But some doubted." Aren't you glad Matthew put that in there? "Even among the disciples, some doubted," like Thomas. And then it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" All authority. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Beloved, I want you to know, I believe what I'm preaching about this morning is the ultimate decision in every person's life. Is Jesus the Lord of my life? In what way is Jesus the Lord of my life? Have I given my life to Him? And if I've given it to Him, have I taken it back? Jesus says these words in Matthew 7, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord." And in fact, he describes how these people were in ministry. They were deeply involved in ministry. They were part of God touching the lives of other people. But he says, not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord." And then verse 24, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a man who built his house upon the rock." And everyone who hears these words and does not do them will be like a man who builds a house on the sand. The witness of Peter at Pentecost. The church is about to be born. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. A tremendous gathering of thousands have come together. And Peter is preaching the sermon. The one who had denied Jesus three times. And he got to the climax of the sermon, and these are the words: "This Jesus, whom you crucified, God raised up, and of that we all are eyewitnesses. This Jesus, whom you crucified, God raised up, and of that we all are eyewitnesses. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.'" By the way, that is the most quoted verse of the Old Testament in the New Testament. It's from Psalm 110:1. "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." In other words, the Father was raising the Son to the point, place of authority, to the right hand of the Father. "That all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." The witness of Peter at Pentecost. The witness of Stephen at his death. I love these words. "Now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth against him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" The place of authority. And then Stephen says later, "Father, forgive them for what they are doing." And then he gave up his spirit and died, having been stoned to death. Jesus is Lord. The witness of Paul. I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians, because I'm going to be alluding to a number of these verses. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 2, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." There was no question in Paul's mind who the Lord was. Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing." Look down at verse 15. "For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints..." Beloved, Jesus is Lord, whether you believe it or not. Jesus is Lord, whether you have made him the Lord of your life or not. Look at verse 9. 9 through 11. These verses changed my life. I was out by a lake in Indiana planning my preaching for the entire year, and I decided I was going to preach through Ephesians, and I decided to memorize the first chapter. And I got to these verses. And I want you to know, I was very close to burnout. I had gone out to that lake because I desperately needed to get alone with the Lord. I needed to have my cup refilled. For he has made known to us in all wisdom and insight. How's that go? In all wisdom and insight, the mystery of his will according to his purpose as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. God has a plan and a purpose. And then look at verse 11. In Christ, according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to the counsel of his will. He not only has a plan and a purpose to unite everything in Christ, but he's got the power to pull off the plan. And I laid my hand on those verses and I said, Lord, I ask you to do that. I ask you to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. I said, you could even unite the Presbyterians. And I did. I laughed. The Southern Baptists were meeting that week in Dallas. I said, Lord, you could even unite the Southern Baptists. And I laughed again. And then I said, Lord, you can even use the battle against pornography to drive your people to their knees and to each other. And I laughed again. God's plan is to unite everything in Jesus Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. Look at verse 18. This had changed me radically about 4 years before. Verse 18. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, eternal life, and what are the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints. And get this, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe, according to the working of his great might, which he accomplished in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he, the Father, has put all things under his feet. Beloved, if we ever get a hold of that, it will radically transform our lives. The power that raised Jesus from the dead and made him sit at his right hand with all authority, that power is at work within us. I want you to know, I was involved in a tremendous debate within the Presbyterian Church called the Confession of 1967. I was to debate one of the leading professors of Princeton Seminary up in Boston. I was thinking about this passage, and do you remember when the lights went out of all New England? That's when I was going to be debating this key professor from Princeton Seminary. I said, Lord, you're amazing. By the way, we had the meeting with candlelight. We didn't have any stove to be able to cook the food. We had the meeting. And of course, I won. Because I was standing for what Jesus taught. I didn't have the brain power. I didn't have the knowledge. But the truth of Christ will always win out, not in the short run, but always in the long. Jesus is Lord. Listen to these words to the Philippians. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Here are the key verses. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Father receives glory when you and I exalt Christ as Lord of our lives. The Father receives glory when you and I give our lives to Christ as Lord. How about these words? By the way, I was looking through my New Testament early this morning. I have put on the inside cover passages of Scripture that I want to have at my funeral. I haven't read this for a long time. I've got them in all of my Bibles, so nobody will miss it. Funeral suggestions for Jerry Kirk. See also the cover of the large Bible and my other small RSV. I hope you have a ball planning and leading the funeral. I will be with him and I will be praying. Then I put down, it is well with my soul. Here's the first passage I had listed. It's Romans 14, 7 to 9. None of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Here's the key verse. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and of the living. Beloved, it's unbelievable to me why we would struggle with giving our lives to Jesus Christ as Lord. Because life's tough when he's not Lord. And life is wonderful when he's Lord, when he's in charge, when he calls the shots. Now, I want to tell you about the process God has used in my life. When I met Jesus as my Savior, I met him as my Lord. The day I met Christ as Savior, I met him as Lord. My father taught me obedience. He was a Rose Bowl football player. He was a football, basketball, baseball coach. When he said jump, I said how high. There was never a question. Now, I did deceive him three times that I remember. And it was a cataclysm. Every time. He trained me. So when I met Jesus, I had no difficulty giving myself to him as Lord. But in my life, from time to time, unknowingly, I got so busy and so involved with this life that his lordship was not as focused as it needed to be.
You've been listening to Family Talk and part one of an engaging presentation from Dr. Jerry Kirk. I'm Roger Marsh, and I hope you'll join us again tomorrow for the conclusion of his message. In the meantime, be sure to go to our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org to discover more about Dr. Jerry Kirk. On our site, you can read about the various organizations he's started and much, much more. Simply type in drjamesdobson.org in your browser and then click onto the broadcast tab at the top of the page. While you're online, I also urge you to visit the Dobson Digital Library when you go to dobsonlibrary.com. Now, this is a complete online collection of Dr. Dobson's many years of work. We have cataloged his writings, his radio broadcasts, and put them all into four main areas: marriage, faith, parenting, and culture. If you'd like, you can also use the search bar to comb through our inventory and find what you're looking for that way. Stop looking elsewhere for valuable resources that can benefit your family. Visit DobsonLibrary.com and take advantage of Dr. James Dobson's many, many years of experience. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Please remember that Family Talk is completely listener-supported, and you, our faithful listeners, can help contribute financially to this ministry and learn how to do that when you go to drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. Remember to tune in again tomorrow for the conclusion of Dr. Jerry Kirk's powerful presentation. Until then, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening to Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
This is James Dobson again. As we close today's program, I just want to thank so many of you out there who make this broadcast possible with your contributions. And I want to tell you how much your generosity is appreciated.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tim Clinton for the James Dobson Family Institute. Who inspires you on matters of faith, family, and culture? If you don't already get it, sign up for Dr. Dobson's monthly newsletter at drjamesdobson.org. Each month, you're going to receive insight and news that impacts your family and solid advice that you can trust. Whether it's wisdom for parents, tips for building a lasting marriage, or discernment on issues your family may be facing, you're going to find direction, encouragement, and more every month. Visit drjamesdobson.org and sign up for that monthly newsletter today. And again, that's drjamesdobson.org. You'll be glad you did.